It's always nice to actually welcome a new guest by saying congratulations, especially when it's congratulations, Beth Gulliver, on getting into your postgraduate course in journalism at the University of Cardiff. How are you?
Yay, thank you. Oh, I'm so good. Yeah, I'm really happy. It was such a shock, really, because there wasn't many places. I was really like preparing myself for getting a no. So it was so good to hear, and I'm really excited.
Two words. Midweek Drivet. Okay, that's basically all you needed to know. I mean, clearly, once you've made that particular aspect, that decision that you made back in the day in that seminar to say, I'd quite like to do a bit of radio. There we are, you see. It just moves on and on from that.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, when last we spoke, of course, you just returned from, obviously, your world tour and so on. How has it been settling back? In fact, you're in Cardiff at present, is that right?
Yes, I'm in Cardiff now. Coming back was really weird, actually. I was really down for a long time because for ages we'd just been seeing these like amazing places and like doing things every single day. And I came back and it was mad how little I was doing before. Like I was actually just sat around. Obviously, I was just sat with family afterwards and I was so bored. And so like it was such a culture shock, more so coming back really from like all those places. And then me and my boyfriend, we sort of sat around for ages. We're like, we need to do something else. We need like another adventure. So we decided to move to Cardiff and that's why we're here.
Well, so, going to Wales can be classified as a huge adventure, an awfully big adventure, to use the J.M. Barry line. But, you know, at the end of the day, you are in the south of Wales as opposed to the north of Wales, which I think is where Robin Pearce is based. So he sends his best, though, you know, as you completely transcended that. Wales, a bit like Scotland, going their own way in terms of lockdown scenarios and such like. Have you noticed anything that has particularly marked things out in terms of saying, yes, I'm in Wales now, I'm going to stay there, and it's frankly high time we actually tell Boris Johnson enough already?
Yeah, literally. Yeah, it's so different here because I've been speaking obviously to like my family back in Bromsgrove, and they literally have said it's basically like it doesn't exist anymore, like everyone's walking around the shops like really close and things, whereas here it's still very much like everyone's very distant. There's barely any cars on the road. Like better, obviously, I think, to be honest, I think it's less scary when it's like that. I'm glad everything's still pretty locked down.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key thing that we're faced with in England is uncertainty and also perhaps a lack of faith due to past track records of leaderships in terms of where they're going, what they're doing. It's interesting that the news broke today that our Prime Minister is now going to actually say that every car that's made in Japan will actually be stamped made in Britain. Interesting. Go figure. Still, never mind. Oh, that's a way, way forward. And we could clearly actually discuss at length the options provided by inviting everybody from Hong Kong to actually come to Britain, given clearly the amount of time and effort that certain members of the current government have been putting into making sure that immigration is a major issue. However, that's for another time. Eloise, who may well be joining us on one of these particular productions in the not too distant future. I mean, I've done a few 3- and 4-handers, which have worked well. But I thought actually, just to test that since things are working, we'd work our way through this. So I thought I might as well sort of see if this actually reminds you. You know, can you remember what this little chap is actually called? I'm holding it up to the camera. We discussed it last week. He's looking a little bit.
My God, what was his name?
We did actually have it sorted out. If you recall, Ben unfortunately actually said this was Spud.
What did he call him? It's Spike. Is it Spike?
Exactly. Yeah, he's a happy bunny now, and all's well with the world. Because as you can tell, Spike is clearly the only person who's allowed into this socially distanced bubble that I've actually got, and has been a huge help over the last few months and so on. What are you most looking forward to about the upcoming programme? And indeed, will it be a case of blended learning for your work as a postgraduate at the University of Cardiff? Have you been told, well, don't expect to actually meet your lecturers, for goodness sakes.
So there are about 2 or 3 modules that we'd usually have combined with the magazine journalism students and the broadcast journalism students. And they would usually be about 80 students. So we can't obviously do those in the big lecture halls. So we've got 2 or 3, I think they've said, modules online, which I'm fine with, really, because...
Could you not book the Millennia Stadium and actually have all
you'd
know,
think,
10
you?
Of
you'd
you
think
spread
right
out
there.
Around the whole thing? Exactly.
Right there. Yeah. You'd think. And then the rest of it will be pretty much the same because they've reduced the amount of people on the course. We can sort of sit separately and it's very much a very practical course, which I'm really looking forward to. It's basically like working in our own newsroom. We'll have a patch in Cardiff that we have to write about and probably be doing radio and things as well, which I'm really looking forward to.
Well, you have, I'd like to feel you had a little bit of training in terms of
radio
formats from that point of view, which would be good.
Great, yeah.
And actually, what we're doing now in many ways will presumably be one of the major ways in which actually journalism for the foreseeable future will be operating, because you don't really want to take the risk of either infecting your interviewees or becoming infected, really.
Exactly, yeah. They'll be very, very digital again, very strange. So, very Never different, mind. But it's all good.
Well, that's what you've got to focus on. That's the key thing from the whole world. So, Bethany, if you have a message that you'd like to put out to the rest of the Midweek Drivettes, some of whom may be listening to this, some of whom may not. I mean, folks, on this particular production, I think we're going to be featuring Hannah Brown, and Chloe Rose will be coming on to chat to us. And then Dr. Hilary Jones will be talking a little bit about his own views in terms of the post-lockdown system that we're based into. What can we say would be Beth Gulliver's message to the world?
Message to the world. Oh gosh, no pressure. I guess just stay safe, everybody, keep doing what you're doing, and just have fun as well.
As long as it's socially distanced, that's important.
Don't
go crazy. Be careful. Be careful out there. Bethany Gulliver, it's been fabulous taking part once again. This okay, let's throw them at you. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with me today?
I've missed these questions. Yes, it's been brilliant. I've missed it so much.
So the next critical question will be up for joining us again in the very near future, because actually we probably will have kind of versions of the Midweek Drive with two or three contributors. The only difference being we probably won't have any music, but that's okay. We've got our own sort of musical sort of lines for us. And of course, as you know, on Saturdays or recordings there, we will put in some music as well. So I take it you will return.
Definitely.
Yes, she's back. She has returned as promised. She's ace journalist. She just does wonderful things online. She is basically our official Essex correspondent. It's Hannah Brown. How are you, Hannah?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Yes, you were just breaking up slightly there. We're all right, because we've actually taken that huge step of using InVision stuff to communicate. So who knows, with bandwidth and various other bits and pieces. But it's good to see you, Hannah. I think the first time we've actually seen each other as like living beings in this virtual thing we call life for several years. And you've frozen up
on me. Yes, probably since I graduated.
Yeah, well, there we are.
Oh, looking, no.
I could define to the listener that you're looking fantastic as ever, as we would expect you to, but not wearing the fez, which clearly I've obviously got this obsession ever since you actually helped out and were one of the fine ambassadors for the Sci-Fi Symposium, and you insisted on wearing a Matt Smith-era Doctor Who fez as well. You've forgotten all about that, haven't you? It's okay. Look back at the Facebook sites. You've got other things
on
your mind.
We had people there who've worked with... Yeah, well, I can clearly remember. We had people there who worked from...
Yeah.
When there's people there from Doctor Who, you've got to take the opportunity to wear a fez. You know, there's not many opportunities in life, if I'm honest, that you can wear a fez and not be judged for it. So you've got to grab them when they come.
Well, feel free for either this one or indeed possible subsequent Midweek Drivette calls to actually wear the fez if you so choose. You know, it's perfectly okay. It is radio after all, so it works well. Standard question, how is it proceeding? How is life as a journalist? We heard this morning that the Press Gazette had been saying, well, maybe Rupert Murdoch, in setting up a paywall, was helping to save the future of online journalism in the United Kingdom, because there are all sorts of other challenges being faced, not least of which, yes, we can all do stuff, but will you actually get any pennies to actually pay off mortgages and such like?
Well, for me personally, I'm currently furloughed, so unfortunately I'm unable to help colleagues who are working very hard to continue covering all the important news in the area. I keep up to date watching what they're doing. I'm very eager myself to get back into it. But I think from what I know has been happening is that a lot of people, we've seen an increasing number of people coming to us online for the news, which is quite, it's good to know that people are still trusting us to provide the news, which everyone in the news, in the virtual newsroom, because we're spread out across Essex, are working hard to do. And hopefully everyone who's come to us for information during lockdown and the pandemic will continue to come back to us and trust us as things start to move back to normal and I get back to work. And then they can get some great Hannah content.
Bonus factors. Something we haven't talked about, of course, is your brother, who, when last we spoke, was in the international Quidditch team. Now, Quidditch, presumably, a bit like cricket, will presumably have actually suffered due to coronavirus and won't be allowed to actually have any hand-to-hand tactile contact because it could kill him. But how is it going before then? Was he still actually in the side and so on?
So both my brothers have been playing Quidditch, actually. The younger one also started playing because they're both very good. So my older brother has now graduated university and has a job, but he has still been playing Quidditch at his local team. And my younger brother's been joining them when my mum can drive him to Portsmouth from Harwich. But it's been going well. I know that obviously some of the fixtures, because normally fixtures take place over the summer. I think a lot of those were obviously cancelled for understandable reasons. But I don't know how it's going at the moment, whether any plans for the future. But hopefully soon. But yeah, they've both now been playing Quidditch.
Well, we will find out. It's interesting you mentioned the Doctor Who reference earlier, because at times in this little link, you're sounding a bit like a Dalek, but that's okay. If you want to say exterminate, feel free to do so. That's perfectly all
dream
right.
Dream come true.
Hannah Brown or Davros? Very strange. Moving on to another line.
A lot of people have asked that question.
Sorry? Has Tessa actually invited you as yet to take part in Country in the Kitchen? No, did you hear the question?
No, but I have been talking to her about it. I have heard about it. I'm following all the updates on social media, and I've been talking to her about it. It's great that she's doing an extra thing, you know,
exactly
during this time. But yeah,
clearly,
not yet making a starring appearance yet.
Right. Well, I'll have to have words with her about that. I'll make sure it's mentioned there. I think, because of the challenges that we've been having slightly with some of the sound here, I might draw this little piece to an end with those two classic questions. But the first one's for yourself, using the slight variation on, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer today, Hannah Brown?
I have. I love the phrase Zoomer. I think we need to use that more often when everyone has a Zoom call, calling it a Zoomer.
That's what I figured.
Patent that right there.
You know, we just worked through that, and I thought it's not really a phone call. It's more than that. It's connecting on other aspects, so we went for that. So, given that, would you be kind enough to return again in the near future? Will you come back?
Yes, I will. Hopefully, with better connection.
Well, it's quite curious because we've done a couple of links with the University College Dartmouth in the United States. We've been connecting with other areas in the United States. That seems fine. And yet getting to Essex, it's almost as though there's a 10-second satellite delay in some of these questions. You know, I say the words and then you might as well be, you know,
we're just on the whole other world.
But that's okay. Also, the final question, actually, there is a supplementary question, as they'd say, as Beth Rigby would have actually said when she was questioning the Prime Minister on one of those daily sessions. Can I have a supplementary question? What is the progress with respect to Hannah Brown and Artemis Fowl? Any progress whatsoever? Or has it been a case of, well, I've already dealt with that. I went and read the book as opposed to watching the video.
Well, I finished the book. So, like, last time I spoke, I was partway through. I now finished the book. It was very good. I have looked about getting Disney Plus. I can see in that trial, so I'm going to consider signing up for a subscription. As I said, they also have now Hamilton, which I'm interested in seeing. So,
you've got Hamilton, you've got The Mandalorian. You got Mary Poppins, a tale I believe was actually modelled on your own good self, you know, in a kind of time warp routine, practically perfect in every way. It's all great stuff, but we're not here to promote the Disney company. We're not here to promote the Disney company. We'll step away. Hannah, it's been awesome. Take care of yourself, and we will speak again very soon.
You do.
Well, we said we'd do it, and we promised we will do it, and we have done it. We've connected via Zoom with the awesomely wonderful Chloe Rose. How are you, Chloe?
Yay! I'm so glad to be back on in any way that we can. If it's virtual, you know, that's great. It's the safest way, best way.
Well, I mean, you know, in a sense, we've done a few phone links, and clearly you've had lots of challenges in betwixt times, as we said. You're looking at I'll do, describe for the dear listener the fact that Chloe Rose is looking more sensational than ever these days. She's wearing a striped white and black top, really. That's all I should say at this particular stage. Which surprises me, because I thought actually in light of Jurgen Klopp's recent success with Liverpool, you would have got all red. But no. Good. Very good.
So I thought I'd have gone kitted out with all the football tops on and the shorts and everything, but no, not today.
Well, given that this is taking place a few hours after the result was Manchester City 4, Liverpool 0, I think obviously, you know, we've sorted our way through that, which is all good. All good. Let's not talk football. We'll move on to other areas, etc. You're in lockdown at present. Well, you're not in lockdown. We're at that time where lockdown is supposed to be lifted. We've already spoken to people in Wales. We spoke to Hannah Brown, who she's not in Wales. She's in Essex. We spoke to Bethany Gulliver, who's in Cardiff. They're having slightly different. How do you feel yourself? I mean, we're told that, you know, July the 4th, Independence Day. Chloe, you're not going to be risky. You know, you're not going to be going out to the pubs and clubs of Cleethorpes and saying, "Yay, party on!"
You know what, Alex? I would love to, but I don't know. I don't know if it's sort of the worry of it. I know they're saying that obviously the numbers have gone right down, but I'm still sort of worried. Is it still safe enough? You know, I don't know if I would be going into a pub anytime soon. I mean, I'm not the biggest drinker in the world anyway, but I do like a glass of wine. Nothing wrong with that. A nice Prosecco. Well, you can drink whatever you like, but I don't know, Alex. I just think for now it's safe to, you know, go out a little bit, venture a little bit, but I don't know if the pub's a step too far for me just yet, but maybe soon, maybe.
Well, I mean, the one thing about what we're doing now, and we built this whole range of Zoom calls up over the last couple of weeks. I'm a relative newcomer to Zoom. This is only, I think, the second week that I've been using Zoom as a conference tool, but we've worked through about 35, 40 odd interviews. We had to effectively make sure that everything was okay before we invited yourself on, Chloe. You know, this is the key thing. We want to make sure that it was all sorted during this. And the next stage is, of course, getting a kind of midweek drive show together where we might well be able to put you together with Tessa and other midweek drivettes, and we kind of share the screen. We won't have the music unless you'd like to perform some stuff live for us via Zoom, which is another aspect, but it's something which at least can work through.
Definitely.
So technology is working. What about yourself? Talk us through your own experience with Zoom.
I've used it about twice, to be honest. I think this is my second time, Alex.
Well, I feel honoured.
Yay! And I used it because I know it was my friends from Mallorca. That they live in London now. But when I was away singing there, I met them and we got really close. My two friends, and I just thought, well, I can't really see them because we were talking about having a reunion, you know, going out and doing something. And obviously with the lockdown, it's not ideal. But Zoom is like the perfect thing. So if I need to speak to anybody, if you can't do FaceTime or you've not got an iPhone or something like that, Zoom is absolutely ideal. I think it's fabulous. The only thing is just when I'm logging in and putting the password, and sometimes I have a bit of, obviously it was a slow uptake today, but I got round to it and I got there, Alex. But I think this is something that you should definitely continue to do. It's brilliant.
Well, it's certainly an area which it's had its critics. Phil Leonis in Los Angeles says he doesn't like to use Zoom because he maintains it actually steals his data and there are personnel issues and so on. Mm-hmm. Actually, those glitches I have cleared with a number of computer experts who work in the business, and actually they have been solved, hence the reason we have passwords and things are encrypted. So it would be very, very difficult, not necessarily impossible, but very, very difficult for anybody to Zoom bomb us and actually burst into this little radio piece without, you know, the due permissions and various other aspects. So, you know, we're okay from that point of view. And I've got to say, I think as somebody who is not hugely computer savvy, but, you know, I know which buttons to press roughly, it is fairly straightforward. And I think that's the beauty of it. It's straightforward. And for broadcasting, I think certainly the BBC and lots of other stations would have been really having a lot of trouble if it wasn't for Zoom being able to provide these kind of interviews and so on. So enough of such stuff. If we had shares in Zoom, you might sort of appreciate what we're doing on this basis. You had your appendectomy a few weeks ago. You had your tests on Wednesday. Can you share the results? Are all well? Is all good? You're looking fantastic, but what's the sort of official thing?
I can. So basically, they're saying that it's healed really well. The problems that I were having, a lot of it's gone now because it was due to the appendix and pain and everything like that. But that's all cleared up. But they've found I had to have a gastroscope. So I had to go in hospital and have a COVID test before, because they have to test everybody before you go in, you know, so it's safe. And they've found like a hiatus hernia, you know, like in my stomach. But it's a small one. So basically that can sometimes cause chest tightness, because I was panicking thinking, I hope I've not got COVID or anything, because you don't know. But obviously I've been tested and it's fine. But we think that's what's causing it. But I think they can give me medication for it. I don't think it'll affect me too much. It's just sorting, like looking up the best things to have for on a diet, food diet and things like that. I don't want to bore you too much. But anyway, it's all good, Alex.
So precisely. Precisely, that's the important thing. And Cleethorpes has a little bit of sun shining through the whole process as a result of that. And we talked last week, actually, on people can obviously download the podcasts and so on, about how Cleethorpes has been coping with the whole system. Are things getting to a stage of normality now? Have you had a walk on the beach recently? Has there been any sort of move? Or is it a case of, don't be silly, I stay well away from the beach as far as possible?
I've not been to the beach, but yesterday, because after the news and everything, I thought I'll venture out. So I did go to the shop, but I was a bit on edge about it, because obviously I went into two or three shops and I had my hand sanitizer with me every single place I went. But every time you went in, I had my mask on as well. But every time I went in, you had to do your hands and I didn't touch anything. And obviously, I know it sounds silly, because I love people in general. I'm the type of person that, you know what I'm like, Alex, and you're the same. You like to talk to people and, you know, friendly person. And when you can't be like that, there's me smiling through my mask saying, you know, I'm not being ignorant, I'm really smiley person. I try to sort of, you know, make people realize, it was like when I'm scanning my products through and there's a staff member there, I'm like, I hope I'm not intimidating you with this mask on. But I don't think I'll venture out very, very often. But I mean, it's like the hairdressing thing. I will be having my hair done in the
you
next
don't
few
need
weeks.
Your hair done.
Oh, my room.
It's looking new.
Oh, look.
No,
look,
it's fine. Fine.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, equally, from my own point of view, I don't really need much doing much of my hair as well, but then there isn't much of it to start off with. So there we are. We carry on.
But we don't want you to look any different. You're perfect how you are. We won't want to change you. That's the thing. Everyone, you know, has got their own quirks and everybody's got their own, you know, differences in the way that they look. And if you changed it, we wouldn't recognize you. It wouldn't be the same.
Nevertheless, that, as I say, we'll be heading through that. So again, you'll be working through that whole system. And has this inspired your songwriting? I mean, clearly, as I've said before, in many ways, Breathe could have been written for the COVID-19 scenario. You're almost ahead of the game there. So are there zones you'd like to explore as well, such as wear a mask, for instance?
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, these things can be discussed, because usually, I know it sounds daft, but a lot of, you do hear a lot of people, such as Adele, like she went through heartbreak and she wrote a lot about that and, you know, the things she had experienced within her writing. And I have been finding myself writing about what's been going on. And I think it gives you a new story, a new concept to talk about, doesn't it? And discuss. And I definitely think I'll be writing more with probably COVID in mind. I might not say, you know, get your mask on and everything like that, but
it's the album cover. Surely.
Yeah. The there'll be cover. No Lucky involved. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. You could actually paint a little smile on the mask and then you'd be perfectly happy. You'd be like the Joker. You'd be like Harley Quinn in many ways.
Yeah. Oh dear, that would be hilarious actually. But I mean, why not? I mean, you've got to make things, you've got to have a laugh, haven't you, really? You've got to try and humour it, I guess. That's the only way you can get through.
Well, there we are. The thoughts of Chloe Rose, of which there'll be many more. We're going to ask you those last two questions. Our slight variation on the theme, they've become almost standard. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today?
Very interesting, very different, and I love it. So I look forward to it again, and I hope you have too, Alex.
Well, it's been fantastic, and you've answered the other question. You will be able to return in the very near future.
Absolutely. absolutely, the return of the Jedi. Why did I say that?
Now, it seems that as we proceed through the 21st century with the challenges of COVID-19 and so on, we get busier and busier. I know I've been spending the last few weeks planning for blended learning at the University of Lincoln, attending lots of online meetings and sorting out all manner of other bits and pieces. Clearly, one needs help. One needs the help that can only be provided by the awesomely talented Dr. Hilary Jones. Dr. Hilary, how are you?
I'm fine, Alex. That's very kind of you. What an intro to live up to.
Well, you know, this is the first time in all the times we've done interviews that we've actually had face-to-face contact through the technology. It's standing. And you're looking very well, sir.
And you.
Anyway, this recent research, which suggests that actually we are in need of a break, and even more so in times like this, where the stress factor has probably been phenomenal around the globe, not just in Britain.
Particularly because there are so many things beyond our control. People are worried about the virus for sure. I mean, this is a part of medical history, the biggest pandemic for 102 years. People are worried about their physical health. They're worried about their relatives, their elderly relatives, their children who've been off school for so long. They're worried about being stuck at home. They're worried about their jobs, finances, and what the future holds. And therefore, levels of anxiety and depression, which were already high, have been made worse. And the GPs and mental health charities all know this. And it's important that people share their emotional feelings about the pandemic and about their concerns, because a problem shared is a problem halved. And it's time to take a break. Now that we're easing out of lockdown, I think it's important that we away from the four walls that have been imprisoning us for the last few weeks, get a breath of fresh air out in nature, maybe not going too far afield, but having a few days off. I think that's going to be good for our mental health and our physical health. And a survey conducted by Willoughby Holiday Homes called the Great British Breakoff has shown that actually people often prefer regular short trips where they don't have to plan too much in advance and spend too much money are preferable to one long holiday once a year.
And certainly the findings that over a third of British folk think the holiday is important for unwinding, it is important. And for those of us, I mean, okay, some of us are blessed to actually work in environments like universities, which have had their own sets of challenges and so on. There are other sort of cases from the perspective of students. We're getting used to an online system, but there has been such a rapid change. Even this very interview, as I say, which a few months back would have been in a studio, we'd be sorting out various other things, having to coordinate that. We need to basically not just have a digital detox, perhaps, but also sometimes actually just maybe reboot ourselves. And is that the essential part of a holiday?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think we're all in need of exercise. I think we're all in need of a change, some adventure, some exposure to nature, whether it's a walk on the beach, looking at the horizon and the sea or the hills, smelling the grass and the flowers. I think these are part of therapy, if you like, nature's therapy. I would always rather prescribe an exercise than any pharmaceutical pill or elixir. And I think getting away from it all is important. And you mentioned the fact that we're surrounded by digital technology. It's a good thing for information, but it's also good to switch it off sometimes to let our minds have a break and a bit of peace. Put an app on your smartphone which turns it off for a couple of hours, or just switch it off. I mean, how many of those calls really are, you know, life-saving? Very, very few.
Do you know, I could almost sense Dr. Hilary Jones's guide to mindfulness. I mean, it's got to be written. If it's already in the planning stage, it'll be there. It's definitely going to happen. And speaking of guides in general, other aspects, where would you suggest people should go to find out further information about what we've been chatting about today, and indeed the survey itself?
Yeah, I would just go to Willoughby Holiday Homes website. It's very good. It talks about the survey and how other people feel at the moment. But it also gives you wonderful information about opportunities to take a staycation in the UK. Lovely locations, the sort of homes that you can expect. And these days, as I've seen, they are pretty luxurious.
Absolutely. We'll finish with two final questions. First of all, Dr. Hilary Jones, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today, as opposed to the phoner interview we normally have? Has it been a good Zoomer for you?
you know, I have had to really increase my my ability with technology in the last few weeks. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed it. It's been great.
Yeah, absolutely. So can we prevail upon you again? Who knows, in the not-too-distant future, will
you
return? Yay!
Absolutely. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks indeed. Take care now.
Take care. Bye.
So we featured the joys of Dr. Hilary Jones, talking about how holidays are vitally important. We've had a few other midweek drivettes from Simon's past, but we're delighted now on this ongoing series of Zoomers, as we're referring to them, to welcome back to the Midweek Drive in true socially distanced ways, the awesomely, amazingly wonderful, from the joys of Redcar and Gisborough and all sorts of things. It's Gemma Joy. How are you, Gemma?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you. I'm fine. I'm at large on Zoom.
Yeah, I mean, when did you first start Zoom? Because you strike me as somebody who's cutting edge. You probably were actually Zooming long before the rest of us.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing. I was Zooming before, but only for work. And it was always a bit awkward and people were saying, oh, I'm not going to switch my video on because I don't like seeing myself.
And well, we both switched our videos on today and you're looking fantastic, Gemma. So that's good stuff.
Zoom's brought about some self-acceptance, I think, with people that, you know, that's how you look, get over it. But, and I think now I'm used to it, and yeah, it has become second nature, but there is a bit of it that, there is a cognitive dissonance thing that, you know, you do get Zoom fatigue, and that definitely is a syndrome that we never knew existed before lockdown. And I think you have to negotiate your way around that, don't you? Too much Zooming is bad for you.
I certainly find that in terms of meetings, and I haven't done many meetings in Zoom. All the Zoom material has all been interviews, and it's been one-on-one or one to two people and so on, and we're expanding that. But Microsoft Teams, where you see a whole wall of people which are up there, which you can have obviously on Zoom, but Microsoft Teams still claims it's more secure. I don't believe it, but there we are. That's a time where, in essence, there is something unusual about staring at a whole group of other people staring at you. And yes. I think that's the time where I'd probably actually say, do we need the video on? Surely the initials are enough to actually work through that. And maybe we just need to work through that process. I don't know.
Because there's two things. So psychologists are saying that one issue that people are having with it is that because your video's on, you feel almost like you're performing. Even if you're not saying anything, you know, people can look at you. And scarily, there is a facility where they can zoom in on you and look in, you know, sort of behind you. So I think people are aware of that. But then there's the other thing where if you're presenting and you can just see a sea of initials and no video on, well, are people listening? Are they playing with the dog? What are they doing? And so then that's quite off-putting for the presenter. So it's really difficult, isn't it?
But Gemma, those of us who've been in radio for the last four decades, we're used to that.
Yeah, I suppose that's your life, isn't it?
That's the standard thing. You know, we go there, we go into the studios, be they in Siren Radio Land at the University of Lincoln, be they up in London, be they, you know, we carry on. I mean, obviously, we were made for this whole side of things. Treat the Zoom call as a radio show.
Isn't it? Radio is so beautiful because radio is your friend when you're doing other things. Nobody sits down and listens to the radio not really doing anything else, but yeah, and Zoom, the idea is that you are focused on the Zoom and sometimes you're not always.
Occasionally we do that, but then again, yes, you're quite right. We move on from that. Mm-hmm. Now, how is your campaign going? Because when last we spoke, we talked about your campaign to get proportional representation. Now, is it a case of, well, a pandemic also begins with a P, so at least I was partially right there, pandemic as opposed to proportional?
Yeah, that's probably the only the only similarity, really. And I think, weirdly, the lockdown has made it really difficult. So for the likes of me, I've actually got busier at work in lockdown because work has become more intense. And so I've actually had less time on Twitter and the socials and less time doing campaigning, and proportional representation is probably a casualty of that. But I think for other people that, you know, they've either gone on furlough or, you know, they're not working, sadly, even if they want to be. And so there's a lot of activity around. Things haven't really moved on. I think these things take a lot of time, and they take the major two parties to do anything with. I think Keir Starmer's just put a nod to the fact that STV might be a way of sort of advancing things, and that's their first acknowledgement that first past the post isn't ideal. But as to whether anything will come of that, who knows?
There's always that classic line that it's not really in the interests of the major parties to really invest in this, and you've got a problem to start off with from that point of view. But
yeah,
so it goes. So globally, here we are in the second half of 2020. China is effectively getting not only flak from the point of view of bats, potentially coronavirus, COVID-19, but also Hong Kong. Likewise, ironically, given the government's record with respect to immigrants and migrants, the offer of everybody from Hong Kong can come over to Redcar now. Probably not the best thing forward, or not the most thought out strategy. Is this a period of time where, I mean, you know, we go back, it's fair to say, over from the days where not only did I teach you at the joys of Redcar and Cleveland College, but beyond then into Humberside, the University of Humberside, University of Lincolnshire Humberside, and so on. Is it a case of sometimes, you know, you look at your children, fine folk that they are, and say, Lord, where are we going in this century?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that. I think that the lockdown period has been that focus of reflection, and I feel like at first it seemed quite scary. Then we moved into the positive phase, and I know everybody goes through their own personal journey, but then we were in the positive phase of, wow, you can hear the birds and it's quite peaceful, and obviously air pollution went down, so there was a massive green benefit. And then people were saying things like, we must remember this, we must forge forward with a new way of working, and it all seemed very positive. And then it all escalated, and we had obviously Hong Kong, we had Black Lives Matter protests, we have Statue Gate, there was the Cummings eyesight thing. It was just been a melee.
But Gemma, you know, it's a matter of course, if your opticians are actually closed, you need to test your eyesight by driving to Barnard Castle. It's a done deal, surely.
It's so beautiful to look at. And, you know, if you didn't want an eye test, you could just go there for a day out, because it is so beautiful to look at. And that's the nature of an eye test. You need to go somewhere really nice. Don't just bother going 5 miles down the road. You need to go to a beauty spot. Anyway.
If you were on duty in the public relations side of Downing Street, eh?
It just seems that, you know, we have come sort of full circle back to a really, what feels like a really hostile environment, as the Conservative government would like to say. So it seems very hostile again. And then I think we're entering into this period where now pubs are open, shops are open, and some people want to go to the pub and some people don't. And there's that horrible division again. We just seem to thrive on this nature of binary choices and division. It just doesn't feel great at the moment. But yeah, that's where I am on the journey. Hopefully someone else would say something else.
Well, it's certainly been the longest in any period of my teaching career that I've actually been off campus. And
yeah.
Actually, to be fair, probably we're not going back until September. Teaching doesn't start until October. There are a number of stresses and challenges maintained with respect to online material. We're doing online open days, which I'm coordinating that in the next sort of couple of weeks and so on. And there is that uncertainty. And it is interesting in particular looking at students' experience and so on, because I'll turn it over to you, to your good self. We're kind of used to this now, because we're kind of getting used to that whole process. But surely if you wanted a genuine distance learning experience, you would go, dare I say it, to the Open University?
Yep. And I'm sure you're doing brilliant, but they're expert in delivering distance-led learning. I think part of the experience of university, and certainly from me when I was a student, is you go to the Open Days, and it's not scientific. You go with your gut feel of viscerally what that campus does to you, what the people do to you, what it looks like. And I feel sad that the students aren't going to get that. They're going to make a next best choice, aren't they, with the ideas they've got.
And how would Gay Lofthouse have actually developed to such an extent if she wasn't actually engaged physically with the whole course? I mean, you know, we think about Ross Bowring, who will actually be joining us in the not too distant future over from Pennsylvania. Again, an interesting line from his perspective and so on. But maybe it's just a case of I'm becoming more chronologically gifted and too reflective on the whole process.
chronologically gifted. I love that.
We don't use the O word, Gemma. I think that's definitely not. You can also use experientially enhanced. That's another option. You can actually use to work through that and go from there. Gemma, have you got a message that you'd like to send out to the globe from your own perspective? It is Gisborough, isn't it?
Yes, it is Gisborough.
That's exactly it. From Gisborough to the globe, which could almost be a kind of wonderful, you know, a series in itself, really, accessing the fortunes of the Globe Theatre in London from Gisborough, really. I don't know.
I think this week, if you're asking me what's important this week, it's balance. Find some balance, because it's very intense at the moment. It's intense out there on social media. It's intense in the news. It's intense around the world. And it's intense in people's houses. So get outside, get some green bathing and enjoy some balance.
Green bathing?
Green bathing is just when you go for a walk in the woods, but I like to call it green bathing, where you surround yourself with green.
That is almost as wonderful. In fact, I'm going to put that down. It's almost as wonderful. In fact, it is. It's more wonderful than my line for these things, which, as you know, we come to those last two questions, which I'm going to ask you now with a slight twist. Have you actually had a reasonably interesting telephonic Zoomer with us today?
Yes, I have.
Good. Zoomer, okay. So the next critical question is, will you be able to join us again in the near future? And maybe we'll get a couple of other midweek drivettes on at the same time. Will you come back?
Definitely.
It's finally arrived, the time where we can actually connect with the individual who actually launched or relaunched our whole package. But we had to wait. We had to wait until we were absolutely certain that this Zoom thingy was actually suitable. So that's one of the reasons why she wasn't the first on this. We piloted it out. We tested it several times with Dr. Hilary Jones, variety of other fine folk and celebs and midweek drivettes. But finally now we can say, Zoe Jameson, we're connected via Zoom.
Yay!
And you're outside as well in your car.
I am outside in my car. Such a glamorous life I lead.
Well, it is, Zoe, it is. And you know, here was I thinking you'd be there. I mean, I'm obviously still in the home domestic environment of Middlesbrough and so on, and we're connecting this magical thing through. Obviously, weekly sessions have been carried out from our other studio. But this is a whole new setup. So how we're asking people basically on this particular program, can you remember your first Zoom? What kind of things did you actually think about Zoom? And what are your thoughts on Zoom now? Or is it just a case of, frankly, it's just another bit of technology?
I think my first Zoom was uni, because as lockdown happened, we still had lectures and things before our finals. So they managed to set up Zoom so we could still do some lectures. So I think that was my first experience.
See, clearly the Royal Veterinary College there, unlike a number of other universities, no name checks, obviously, but they panic when they hear Zoom because they think, we can't have Zoom bombing. Students will be showing their bottoms on camera and emerging in meetings and all sorts of other bits and pieces. No. It's okay. It's perfectly secure. Honestly, it's very important that we actually get that right across.
Yeah, we did turn our cameras and our audio off for lectures. Yeah.
Well, there is that kind of online etiquette which you get used to fairly quickly, which is if you actually want to ask something, you press the icon which says raise your hand.
Yeah, the wave.
Little hand raising there. Or alternatively, there's the other. I mean, there is that line, and we were just talking about this with Gemma a few moments ago. That sort of sense that, do you want to be on camera all the time? Because it's somewhat unnerving when you just see a whole sea of faces staring at you with some kind of glassy-eyed system. I mean, at least we kind of get a connection with where we are now after a fashion. You know, it's great. But when you've got like a whole range of things, you think, ooh, it's like suddenly you're on stage and the entire front row is completely visible to you. And you think, okay then. You kind of have to almost dial back on that, but never mind.
Yeah, quite intense.
It is. Now, we are not speaking to you, I don't think, in Northern Ireland. You are actually in the excitement that is England.
I am back in the UK, although I am just going to have to quickly move my car because there's a man behind me and he's getting a bit angry.
You move that car, we'll keep the connection going, and I shall talk whilst you're actually sorting through. I'll provide you with a kind of audio accompaniment as Zoe moves her car. In fact, I can almost observe the sort of notions. And yes, the safe driving is there. It's been obviously well put together. I think I'm looking at the roof, or the roof of Zoe's car. I'm looking at something that's coming through there, but it's all great. It's like, can you guess what this is? It's amazing. It's a whole new world. Wonderful. You know, I think this could be a whole new feature we could actually add to this, almost on the line of, if we were a video service as opposed to a radio station, we might look at this. But, you know, it's different.
It's like that program that Keith Lemon does through the keyhole, only it's through my car. You have to guess whose car it is.
Sorry, you know, I think between the two of us, that is a Jameson Lefchuk clear done deal. It's sort of, we'll high five on that, you know, in a safe, socially distanced way. Exactly. It's marvellous. We'll look towards that. So where were we? Oh, yes, we were talking about, has that chat, I mean, you know, you could always said, look, I'm sorry, I am the sole veterinary student veterinary correspondent for Southside Broadcasting and Siren Radio to the chap, and you probably would have actually acknowledged that stuff. Does he not know? Or use the line, does he not know who you are? Goodness sake. Anyway, share with us and the listener where at this moment in time you actually are.
Oh, well, right now I'm currently on the very end of the M4, just as you come into London.
Right. And have... Sorry, I'm nodding here, which is probably why Zoe's sort of thinking he's nodding, but he doesn't got a clue really where I am somewhere. It's just that sort of he's just doing that to be polite on that basis, which is probably true. So you're there for that. Have you actually managed to establish where you will be working as yet?
Yes. Well, I've been on all sorts of adventures today. I got the ferry from Belfast to Liverpool overnight. So I arrived in Liverpool this morning, and then I went to Potter's Bar and collected the rest of my belongings.
Course.
And then I went to Newbury and dropped off my belongings, and now I'm going to London.
And that is the life of Zoe Jameson. Now, it is the weekend, and it may have passed, actually. If you're listening to this after July the 4th has actually passed, and you say, why are we celebrating Independence Day? We're not, actually. But there is that whole notion of be careful, be safe. I hope, Zoe, you're not going to be actually suddenly going crazy in the centre of London, high-fiving everybody and saying, yay, no, we're free.
No, definitely not. I am armed with lots of wipes and masks and all sorts of protection.
Well, I was just going to get my own mask on there, but I thought that would be silly wearing a mask on one of these links. You know, we just step away from that. You know, I'll wear it for a little bit of pieces. But I do have to sort of ask you the question, can you remember this little fellow?
Yes, Spike.
Yay. You see, that, Zoe, is one of the reasons why you just are top of the tree when it comes to all sorts of other bits and pieces, because quite clearly, you know, unlike Ben, who says he thought he was Spud. or indeed various other midweek drivers who sort of forgot so soon. You're straight in there. It's fantastic.
Well, it's good to see he's keeping you company.
Hey, listen, Spike and me, the last 6 months, we've got a whole new routine going. It's been amazing. That and phone calls from yourself, it's kept me alive. And my students can thank you as well, as probably other bits and pieces. Where was I? Oh, yes, the running. Have you scheduled a running package as yet for yourself around you?
Yes. I'm off for a run this evening.
Marvellous. This is good. It's sort of to do it through on that. And when do you officially start your veterinary duties?
Monday.
Oh, all right.
So very soon.
Yeah. So actually, well, we might squeeze in a quick telephone call tomorrow, a kind of an audio-only piece at the usual traditional 11:30 time for at least our recording side of things. So we wrap up that. And then after that... when we do these Zoom video, we're obviously going to be dependent on how many horses' lives you're saving at any particular time, basically, in terms of other sort of systems.
But it might not be guess the car anymore. It might be guess the horse. Who knows?
Again, Zoe, it's brought us neatly round to those last two questions. Slight variation, though, as I've pointed out before. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today? Ooh. I'm referring to them as Zoomers.
That's good, yeah. I like that. I have indeed, yes.
Marvellous. And therefore, we've kind of already answered this, but will you be back again very soon?
Yeah, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, it'll only be a matter of time before, hopefully, in the very near future, we might invite a couple of other midwives. I might even invite Ben to join us on one of these Zoomer calls. And
then we can actually three way.
Yeah, and Richard, who's getting used to them as well from that point of view, Richard Fitzwilliams. So, you know,
very good.
We may never physically see each other again in the same space, but at least like being, you know, beyond the pale, in limbo, in some sort of beyond the grave, we can, rather like tapping the table, engage in a telephonic communication via Zoom.
Yeah, make the best of a bad situation.
All right, we've had a range of contributors onto the Midweek Drive series of Zoomers that we've been listening to. Obviously, Gemma Joy, who very nearly got elected as a Liberal MP in the last election, but there we are. Dr. Hilary Jones, of course, some very sensible words, as we come to expect from Hilary. But curiously, Dr. Hilary Jones and my next connection and link and our next guest on the show share something in common, because it's the first time we actually met physically, or at least saw each other face to face for quite some time. Hilary and myself have just been telephonic buddies for quite some time. Today we saw each other in person, and now, Jonathan Lindsley, I can see you yet again. It's like you've never been away.
Here I am. Yes, well done. Well, you don't expect anything sensible from me, do you?
Listen, you. Here's a little bit of useful little information. You were far more successful connecting than Dr. Hilary. Out of the nigh on 30 Zooms I've actually done so far, the two most challenging, one was a former IT editor, who indeed have to resort to switching off and switching on again, and Dr. Hilary, you had one or two challenges as well. So apart from that,
okay. You
did very well. I mean, you know, apart from the fact that...
I thought so.
Interesting enough, we have a number here, which is a number which sort of has the letters, the numbers 5, 1, and 9, and various other sorts of that. Don't worry, I'm not giving out any secrets here. But you come across as a number, and I was thinking, well, that's interesting. You're a prisoner, as opposed to, you know, myself, which is Alex Levchuk. You are just a number, Jonathan.
I may have misunderstood the instructions at the beginning when it said enter the name of the meeting, because I thought that was a number, because you sent me an email that said HTTP. No, it said Zoom number, Zoom us 990559056 12.
Let's not confuse the listener at this stage. You're quite right. You did actually access the whole thing. It's just I'm normally used to actually having the name of the person I'm speaking to. Fortunately,
I'm very sorry.
The listener knows nothing.
It's a code.
Pointless, exactly. Yes. When the sparrows go south in winter, it will be time for us to leave.
That's the one.
There are people in Huawei who are listening to that who have already been triggered into action just on that basis.
Oh, I've got a Huawei phone. Look, this is my Huawei phone, not sitting here.
He's flaunting.
The people in China are now knowing what we're talking about.
The whole world, Jonathan. Little did we realise.
That's great, isn't it?
In that broom covered in Dulwich, when you were kind enough to come along and help a fellow broadcaster in need. Mind you, I think I did support you with a News of the World interviewee that you did as well, or News of the World so they actually sort of wanted to know why you lost so much weight.
Oh, yes, that's true. Yes, I did.
which was back in the days of Delhi, when, of course, you know, social distancing in pubs, ridiculous. Why do I mention that? Well, it kind of crossed my mind because this is the weekend where apparently the whole country's going to go crazy. Don't do it, I say. Do not do it, please.
Somebody shared with me today an extract from Samuel Pepys's diary, which started with him saying, the alehouses will be open from tomorrow, but I think you'll find me pressing my nose to the window but not entering, because... a dram of alcohol is not worth catching the pox for, which I thought was quite interesting, considering, you know, that was happening in what, 1600 and something, and or 1700 and something, and there was, and there we are, full circle. I shall probably be pressing my nose to the window of Wetherspoons rather than entering, because I don't think a pint of beer is worth the possibility of death.
I'd hasten to add that whatever local hostelry you wish to actually press your nose against, other hostelries are available, and not just ones that were supporting Brexit. So I just want to...
No. Yeah. Well, I only said Wetherspoons because they're the ones who are preparing most assiduously for opening tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, enough of such stuff. I mean, if he wants to keep his money offshore, in offshore accounts and so on, then so be it. I just feel it was nice that the British public actually united in terms of assisting both himself and Mr. Dyson to actually coordinate that. Let's not go.
That's true. I don't use a Dyson.
Exactly. Jonathan, we talked on your recent connection about your fantastic painting and artistic scenarios. How has that been going?
Oh, yes. Well, actually, funnily enough, I had a lot of requests on, just to explain to your listeners who maybe don't know what I was doing during lockdown. I discovered some an acrylic painting set that somebody bought me as a gift, and I thought, well, I'll give it a go, and if it's rubbish I can sling it in the bin, but it'll keep me amused and I'll do it. So anyway, I painted a couple of friends and they liked the pictures I did, the portraits I did. So then, inspired by that, I started painting people I'd worked with, actors I'd worked with in the past. And I used to be in a television series called Last of the Summer Wine. So I started painting people in Last of the Summer Wine. And the reason I look around then is because I have the latest painting that I did next to me, which now, because we're on Zoom, wow, I can show you my picture. This was the last one I've just done. I don't know if you can see this. Yeah, this is,
it's Thora Hird. It's
Dame Thora Hird. There we are.
I recognize her instantly. Fantastic.
Well, that's the latest picture I've just done. And there's some others here which I could just show you. There's the lovely Joe Gladwin Wooly Batty from the series. But yes, so and then people
you've
liked the original
them as well. You've even autographed them. You've signed
well,
them.
I've signed them, yes.
Copies.
Well, what happened was they're the original paintings, and so what I then got requests, several people requested prints of those, and said, "Oh, would you know? Will you sell me the original?" So I said, "No, I don't really want to sell the originals, and I didn't really go into a hobby to make money, so that was the point." So, and then a friend of mine suggested that I try converting them into canvases. So, I now have next to me my picture of John Comer, right?
Which is like show and tell on radio. It's
great, isn't it? It's fantastic. But here's a picture of John Comer on canvas.
Wow.
Now, how does that look?
That is highly, highly, highly impressive. I gave you three highlies there because it is. In fact, I feel as though actually the National Portrait Gallery should know about yourself, Jonathan.
That's quite good, isn't it? Yep. I'm quite pleased with that. And you remember you saw the original of Wooly Batty? Well, this is the Wooly Batty on canvas.
That's wonderful. Yeah, it's looking really great. I mean, you have your
cliche,
but like all excellent artists, you've managed to capture the essence. You've managed to develop that. And from somebody who, as you said yourself, had not really done any painting since GCSE days, what were they?
No, that's true. O-levels it was in my day.
Hey, Jonathan, be grateful for the fact that you don't have to turn around and say, school certificate. That was what it was.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't got one of those. But yeah, it was O-level art. It was what happened was that you had to fill up the number of subjects. They wanted to make you do plenty of subjects. So for the slightly intellectually challenged of us, they put you on woodwork or metalwork or art were the subjects if you didn't fancy doing advanced mathematics or physics or chemistry. And I was always interested in the arts rather than the sciences.
As you know, Jonathan, chemistry and biology first degree, and then I sort of switched and migrated.
I know.
So it's a Capricornian difference, but that was probably because I was stubborn. You know, that was the key thing. One works through that process, and so it goes.
Well, it's very interesting because as I've got older, I've got more interested in science and less interested in the arts. And I suppose working in the arts takes away some of the magic of it.
Is there an arts industry these days in the kind of post-lockdown environment? I thought Britain was actually shutting it down effectively.
Yes, well, there is, because what will happen...
We're doing it now.
I think people are now writing lockdown dramas, which is quite interesting.
And here we are having a visual lockdown improv, which we worked on the script for several years ago, and whoa, it's like Alan Bennett, eat your heart out. You know, it's
yes,
like, yeah. Talking Heads.
We are Talking Heads.
From Homefirth to Teesside and back again. You know,
that's
the
it. That's
at.
True. That's true.
The sort of sequel to Homefirth to Hollywood.
So we can see one another, but this is still for the radio, is it?
It is. I mean, I could obviously make the thing available via YouTube, but I won't. Because I feel, we can talk about that, but actually, I still want that magic of the audio link together. I want to ensure that that scenery of the mind is important, although it does give us a number of little options, as we had with your predecessor, Zoe Jameson, where we could actually guess whereabouts in her car she happened to be actually communicating with us from. You know, where was she? You know, and when she was asked to move by the irate person behind her, you know, she should have just said, "Do you not know I'm on air with the Midweek Drive? It's going to be featuring Jonathan Lindsley shortly." These are the messages.
How brilliant that was. I liked, yes. Anyway, yes. So I'm in my study at home in my house in Bexhill-on-Sea.
Yep. So, and I'm also in my house up in Middlesbrough with basically...
Oh, you're in Middlesbrough? Oh, I thought you were in Lincoln or somewhere.
Lockdown. Lots of things change.
And oh, okay. They let you back into Middlesbrough.
We were actually at one period second only to London in terms of COVID-19 cases. So you know.
Oh well, that's a claim to fame.
Take that and party.
I'm sad as well because Middlesbrough lost last night, didn't they? Or yesterday.
I show you this because Fly Me to the Moon, who's just been sending yes. a range of other bits of pieces, the official fanzine for all Borough fans.
Yes.
Difficult one. I do produce these, but I do actually support clearly the joys of Manchester City. And there you can actually see the official line that sort of comes through, where the radio station gets its whole range of things there.
Oh, brilliant. So that's excellent. Yes.
Through this Zoom thing, invite you to take part in one of these Fly Me to the Moon specials as well. In fact, would you like a little bit of sight reading? I won't give it to you to actually do, but I think we used to do a little literary spot on
yes, we did. Yeah. Yeah.
You can cast your critical ear over Jimmy Flynn's attempt here to actually entertain and inform people. It's called Coronavirus, COVID-19. So it's contemporary, okay?
Sure. Right, yeah, yeah. There it goes. Yeah.
A bigger threat to humanity has there ever been. A minuscule organism, naked to the human eye, indiscriminately condemning millions to die. An invisible killer which is all around, medical experts continues to confound. As the mounting death tally daily unrolls, it is the human race for whom the bell tolls. This covertly ubiquitous, sinister, parasitic foe, on its murderous rampage, unabated, continues to go. A regally named organism, shaped like a crown, with the deadly capacity to bring the human race down. What could stop this killer in its tracks, as the medical fraternity an antidote lacks? Can some brilliant medical scientific sage bring an end to this virulent, malignant rampage? A modern day Alexander Fleming or Louis Pasteur to emulate their discoveries of yesteryear? Who behind some laboratory door will find the answer an anxious world is waiting for? Some God-sent vaccine solution and panaceas to end this pandemic and allay all fear.
Wow.
I thought that was quite good. I mean, not the reading.
Well, the reading was fine, but it's not exactly the cheeriest of poems, is it, really? I suppose it's got a bit of hope at the end.
I think so. That's Jimmy Flynn from that point of view. We've got messages from Hillary, who sent the wonderful face mask. It's the voice of the fans. One of the rare fanzines, which is still, as you can see, produced not just online, but in physical print. In fact, Jonathan, just this dropped through my letterbox, literally, 3 minutes before we connected this telephone call.
Well, I'm very impressed. I have to say that I hope Borough stay up, and I hope that they recover. Well, I'm not a big fan of Hull City, so but I've got friends in Middlesbrough, including you, obviously, and I've got lots of my friend Mark Benton, who I've painted a picture of, and my friend Bill Fellows, who's also a Borough person. So I feel for them because they're suffering at the moment, just 3 points away from relegation. Wow. So they need some points, and everybody else seems to be doing quite well around them at the moment. They're all getting points. So I know this isn't a football phone-in, but I thought it was interesting.
Jonathan, whatever you like. Yeah. You know,
but it's Middlesbrough, isn't it? It's
There's the link. Target audience. And I didn't think, it was a matter of days ago, we put this online, you might like to listen to it, we connected with a major Borough fan who's also a sports coach and analyst over in the United States of America, where he actually works for Dartmouth College as a soccer coach.
Nice.
And is analysing all manner of things there. So you never know what's actually happening. But Rob Nichols, main man behind Flying to the Moon, yeah, I think we need to coordinate that. Time is scooting by, Jonathan. What can I say?
All right, yes.
Squeeze.
I got a protest the other day. A fellow actor sent me a thing saying, we're having a protest. We need people to support the arts. So what we want you to do is stand outside your theatre, local theatre, and start a poem or say the first line of something, and then don't say anything. And then people will be reminded of how much they'll miss the arts if you don't finish what you said.
There is, if I may say, Jonathan, a teeny, teeny little flaw I might have spotted.
I got that, yeah.
Yes. Strategy with respect to that. Unless you can get hold of an immobiliser that can instantly stop people to actually do nothing at all apart from say, oh, what's happened next, effectively.
So yes, yes.
It might be worthwhile just thinking about it. Just wait.
Well, I haven't taken part in it, but I do think it would be quite fun to start a poem and not finish it. That would be quite fun. Leave people wanting more was the old adage, wasn't it? Less is more and all that. That's what they told me on Last of the Summer Wine.
Clearly, when Kenneth Branagh was directing All Is True, his biopic of the latter years of William Shakespeare, which clearly paved the way for Dame Judi Dench to appear as a leprechaun head of police in Artemis Fowl.
Yes.
I think it's true. You know, I think, you know, again, as we've said in previous phoners, she I felt had kind of reached a peak with her role as a hairy-nippled cat in Cats the Musical. CGI, obviously. But no, she's gone one better. Artemis Fowl. You know, to hear Dame Judi Dench as a leprechaun utter the immortal words, top of the morning.
Yes, I'm sure she'll do anything, Judy. She's a game girl.
I just think, you know, kind of, it's a bit of an inspiration, really, from that point of view. We won't talk about that. So it brings us round to kind of variation on the theme. Jonathan Lindsley, actor extraordinaire, artist extraordinaire, writer, polymath, one might well say these days.
Oh, my word, yeah.
Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer?
It's been very fascinating. It's good to see you. Actually, it's quite nice to talk to somebody human, who you can actually see rather than just a voice, a disembodied voice on the phone.
We'd keep video on. So, and actually sort of the more discerning listener might have heard to be almost, they have you had a really interesting Soma? Soma, of course, was the drug of choice in Brave New World, which effectively made people realise that they were completely unconscious and they just worked through that. We are a drug-free station and maintaining to do that. But the next question is... continue to do that. The next question is, will you be kind enough to return? Will you come back and maybe even share the screen with one or two other midweek drivettes? Will you be back with us either on video or in phone? Jonathan, will you return?
If you invite me, I will be happy to come back and talk some more nonsense, as long as you don't expect sensible conversation.